Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Welcome back to the program again this week. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're being blessed by this series. Your response is always so positive and welcomed. We appreciate those of you who comment even under our YouTube channel where you're watching these from. And it really does encourage us when you let us know that you're watching. We are probably getting close to renegotiating our television program and where we air from. And it is really encouraging when we hear from you and know you're watching. We know that we are being good stewards and faithful with these resources that God is giving it. We have, you know, covenant with God a long time ago. I said, Lord, as long as you pay the bill, I'll stay on and I'll keep doing this. And so far, he's done that, but he does it through our partnership. Let me say that we are continuing this series called Revelation Revisited, and we're in chapter 15 right now. And we're talking about the sea of glass mingled with fire, the last plagues. And if you have missed any of these, this to me probably is one of the most important chapters because it connects it real strongly to God fulfilling his old covenant promises to apostate Israel. Because when you start seeing terminology like they sang the song of Moses, you realize that that's the song that God told Moses to teach Israel. Because he told Moses, when you die, these people are going to go whoring after other gods. And of course, we realize that as we follow these chapters, there's a great harlot that goes whoring after other gods. And God told that to Moses before he died. And he said, before you die, I want you to know these people are going to go whoring after other gods. And then all of these evils are going to come upon them that are written in the book of this law because they didn't keep my covenant and they worshiped other gods. So that all of these things, well, these plagues will come upon them. It'll be a sign to them. But he said, teach them this song so that when they sing this song, it'll be a reminder that what I told them would come to pass, that the curses would come upon them. And he told Moses to teach it to them generation after generation, because when it would come, they would know that it was God keeping his end of the covenant bargain. Then when we get to Revelation chapter 15, he said, these are the last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And they sang the song of Moses, nail in the coffin. I mean, he's literally bringing them right back to that, saying, here's where I'm keeping my end of the bargain. Now, let me just say to you, because you probably, if you're just tuning in for the first time, you won't have a clue where we're at. But if you'd like to go back and revisit some of the things we've taught, you can go to my YouTube channel and or the podcast or the RSS feed, which is the audio portions of what we air on the program. And you can go back and watch them at your leisure. And the easiest way to do that is to go back to my website at lynnhiles.com. And the upper right-hand corner, there are icons that will take you directly to our YouTube channel, our podcast, and the RSS feed. If you subscribe to them, now I'm all over the internet, so if you want to go to my channel and you want to watch these in the series where they're put together in a series consecutively, the best way to do that is simply to go there and subscribe to our channel. It doesn't cost you anything. But when you subscribe, you will get a notice that there's a new video that's been uploaded to it. So you can do that, or if you record us on DVR. But watch these things, because I think they are information that I feel like I need to get out to the people of God. And so I'm going to pick up again here. And we're going to move a little further than we have in the last two, because we've dealt with the sea of glass. We've dealt with the song of Moses as being God keeping his end of the covenant bargain. And we've also dealt with the second dimension of this truth, which was they didn't just sing the song of Moses. They sang the song of the Lamb. And the song of the Lamb is the song of redemption. And that song is, thou hast redeemed us. So for believers beyond the cross, the book of Revelation is what you've been redeemed from. It's not what's coming in the 21st century. It's God keeping his end of the covenant bargain of the old covenant. Now, let me read to you, and we'll comment as we go down through here, because we want to get to the latter part of this. It says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God." Once again, these are the last plagues. "In them is filled up the wrath of God." In other words, God's not going to do this again. He's keeping his end of the covenant bargain after pleading with them and even sending messengers and prophets, and last but not least, even sending the son whom they killed, the owner of the son of the vineyard. And so now all of these judgments are coming upon them. And he goes on to say, "And I saw another angel again in heaven, great and marvelous, having the seven angels, having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had got the victory over the beast, over the number, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, singing, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." And we're going to pick up in this verse in just a moment. Next verse, verse 5. But I want to come back and show you again that I believe there's a literary structure to this book of Revelation, where we see in the beginning of the book, see, everything that happened in the old covenant was a type and shadow. For instance, the lamb, we understand, is not a barnyard creature. It's the Passover lamb of the book of Exodus. So the first part of the book of Revelation is pointing specifically to a lamb. That's the Feast of Passover. And then you see the wave of sheath of first fruits in the seventh chapter of Revelation. And you see the sealing of the saints. That would be the Feast of First Fruits and Pentecost, the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost. And then as you come on through the book of Revelation, now you see seven trumpets, which would be the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. It's interesting to me that in the book of Joshua, which is a powerful picture of Joshua, our heavenly Joshua, leading us into the promised land, that after they crossed the Jordan River, they circumference the city and seven priests blow with seven trumpets. And when the trumpets sound, there's a shout and the city of Jericho falls and the people of God enter into their promised land. In the book of Revelation, you see after the sealing of the saints and what would be the Feast of Pentecost, you see seven trumpets blow and declaring the demise and the fall of the great city that weakened the nations. With the fall of the great harlot city is the birthing of the new Jerusalem. So the removal of the old Jerusalem following the sounding of the trumpets and the pouring out of the vials of blood. Now in the 15th chapter, we are in these bowls of blood, which would symbolize the great day of atonement that would happen on the 10th day of the seventh month following the blowing of trumpets. The blowing of trumpets was to get the people ready for the day of atonement, a day of repentance, and a day of afflicting the soul and of solemn assembly. Because 10 days if they were coming, giving them 10-day grace period to be able to come into the celebration of the final feast, which would be the Feast of Tabernacles. So following upon the heels of these bowls of blood, which are to me a picture of the great day of atonement, which again is two-dimensional. It is, for believers, wonderful because the atonement was made at the cross for us. But for those who did not apply the blood, it was a terrible day. It's a great and terrible day of the Lord. And so you see the feast there fulfilled in that it was the great day of atonement. But following the great day of atonement, then on the heels of that would come the Feast of Tabernacles. Of course, we see the latter part, after these plagues are finished, the culmination is the Feast of Tabernacles, where he says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." God has moved into the neighborhood. He's made his home in men, is what the Message Bible declares. And then there is a great harvest again, where the Spirit and the bride are saying, "Come." This is not a picture of heaven. Revelation 21 is a picture of the bride, the Lamb's wife, the community of faith, the city of the living God. We'll get into that in more detail, but it's found, he says in Hebrews 12, "For you have already come to Mount Zion," and you've come to the city of the living God, because the city of God is not a place, it's a people. It's the bride, the Lamb's wife. It is the tabernacle of God. It is God having received the fulfillment of his dream, "Let them build me a house so I can dwell among them." It is the fulfillment of what Jesus said in John 14, "I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can be also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And we read John 14 as if he's talking about where we go when we go to heaven. But the whole context of John 14 is not about us going to live in heaven. It's about heaven coming to live in us. Because in John 14, Jesus says later in that same chapter, "I and my Father, we will come and we will take up our abode in you." The word abode there is the same Greek word that's translated mansion in the earlier part of that chapter. So that the mansion in the house of John 14 is not where you go when you die. It's because Jesus said, "Expedient for you to go away, because if I don't go, the Comforter won't come." But if you understand that the house that God was building and the place that he was preparing for you was the place where you would become the habitation of God through the Spirit, where he, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would take up their abode and they would mansion themselves in us, because there's a purpose behind that. And that purpose is, "So that greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father," so that there comes out of the outflow of the tabernacle of God, being with men, is that God will dwell with them. And the process of wiping tears from their eyes is the removal of the curse. And the invitation of Revelation is the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And they're saying, if that's heaven, I don't know how there's people outside the city that are dogs and whoremongers, but it doesn't end with outside the city, they're dogs and whoremongers. The book of Revelation ends with saying the Spirit and the bride say, "Come. And if you're thirsty, come." And let him, come on. I get excited about that, because the invitation is the Spirit and the bride are saying, "Come." Well, enough about the city. But as we look down through this, then we begin to see in verse number 5, he's talking about here again. "And after that, I looked and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the angels were fulfilled." Now, let me come back to my notes here, and I want to look at this from verse 5. "After that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened." Now, a couple of things that I want to say is that, first of all, I think it's powerfully important that this is coming, the temple of God is open. I put in this is my personal notes that I did when I was studying this again. It says, "This is the confirmation from the book of Hebrews that the way into the most holy place was not yet made available while the first temple still stood." That's why the old temple had to be destroyed, is because the way into the holiest was not yet made while the first temple still stood. The temple was destroyed, though, in Revelation, the 11th chapter, when it was given to the Gentiles and the holy city to trample underfoot for 42 months. That's exactly the length of the Roman siege and the destruction of the temple of God when it was destroyed in Revelation, the 11th chapter. The temple was destroyed in chapter 11 of Revelation, and this is a continuing, Revelation 15 is a continuance of the same judgments. More than likely, the trumpets fulfill the Feast of Trumpets, while the harvest of grapes, which occurs in the Feast of Tabernacles, occurs during the same month. This trampling out the vintage of the grapes of wrath are in fulfillment of the great day of atonement, also known as the day of the Lord. The remainder of the book of Revelation is the fulfillment of the last of the feast of Israel. The Feast of Trumpets and the Great Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles are in gathering. The book of Revelation concludes with the tabernacle, the tent in which God lives, is with men. It also begins with an invitation for harvest to him that is thirsty. Let him come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. For the believers, these feasts are joyous celebrations, knowing that all of these judgments are what we have been redeemed from. For Jesus completely drank the cup of wrath that belonged to us. His death was our death. His judgment was our judgment. And much like in Egypt, the blood on the doorpost said to the death angel, there's already been a death exacted here. While the Egyptians who did not have blood on the doorpost of their houses were receiving the plagues of judgment, in the Hebrew home, it was a time of blessing and feasting. But to those who have rejected their Messiah, God was keeping his end of the covenant bargain by giving them all the curses of Deuteronomy chapter 28 through about 30-something. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven last, and they were in clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. One of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God, from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues were fulfilled. And I think we could look at several of those passages where he had trampled out the vintage of the wrath. And let me read a few of those, because this is exactly what was happening. Isaiah 63, verses 2 through 3 said, why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I've tread the winepress alone, and from the people none was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. Hence the verse in Revelation that said there was a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. His vesture was dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. He's the one trampling the vintage. This passage also depicts God as a figure of judgment, metaphorically treading the nations in his wrath, and it's from Lamentations 1, verse 15. The Lord has trampled underfoot all mighty men in my midst. He has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord trampled, as in the winepress, the virgin daughter of Judah. The judgment of Jerusalem is likened to a treading of the winepress, and of course we just saw that in Revelation, the 14th chapter. Now, there's so many things that can be said here out of this. I will go back here and just read some of my outline as we come to the conclusion of this. I'm just going to come down through this and read some of my notes, because I want to cover this, and then this is probably the end of the 15th chapter because it's a short chapter. The seven angels with the seven plagues are seen as the final judgments on apostate Israel, culminating in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The phrase, the last plague, signifies the completion of God's covenantal judgments on the old covenant system. And Roman numeral 2 for my outline, the victorious song of the redeemed, the sea of glass mingled with fire, symbolizes God's judgment and purification process. The sea may represent the chaotic world of the old covenant order are being subdued. Those victorious over the beast, Rome's influence, and the corrupt Jewish leaders are standing in triumph. We did a lot with the sea of glass. We talked about how it was also a picture of the brazen laver and our victory over it as we see ourselves through the blood. The song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, the song of Moses, celebrated deliverance similar to Israel's escape from Egypt in Exodus 15, and indicating a new exodus. God's people delivered from the oppressive old covenant system,
But in Deuteronomy, next time they sing the song, it was a reminder that the judgment was coming. The Song of the Lamb emphasizes the victory of Christ in the new covenant. The universal acknowledgement of God's judgment and sovereignty as the nations witness God's judgments. The temple opens in heaven. This is Roman numeral 3 in my notes. Opening of the tabernacle of the testimony. The heavenly temple symbolizes the unveiling of God's presence and judgment. It reflects the end of the old covenant system as the true heavenly temple is revealed. The seven angels emerge with the plagues, clothed in pure white linen, symbolizing the righteousness and divine authority. The outpouring of the wrath, the golden bowls of wrath given to the angels. The bowls represent God's wrath poured out in fullness. Those judgments are seen as the final judgments on Jerusalem. The temple filled with smoke from God's glory. Smoke signifies the manifestation of God's glory and presence, reminiscent of the tabernacle. Temple scenes in the Old Testament. God has moved into the neighborhood. No one could enter the temple until the judgments were completed, emphasizing the irrevocable nature of these divine judgments. Here's some key themes in Revelation 15, judgment on apostate Israel. The seven plagues represent the culmination of God's covenantal judgments against the unfaithful nation. It also is the vindication of the faithful. The redeemed standing on the sea of glass reflect the triumph of those who remain faithful to Christ amidst persecution. It was the end of the old covenant, the heavenly temple opening, and the outpouring of God's wrath symbolizes the closing of the old covenant era and the establishment of the new covenant in Christ. The typology of Exodus is the Song of Moses connects the events in Revelation to the Exodus from Egypt, portraying a new and greater deliverance. And I shared with you how that there is this incredible Exodus paradigm all the way through these scriptures. I think we've pretty well covered this. Now, let me just say just for a few moments again, because as I look at this incredible Exodus, we showed you how that the plagues of Deuteronomy fit perfectly over the book of Revelation. We showed you how the plagues of Egypt and what happened is God delivered his people from Egypt. Also laid over the book of Revelation are the fulfillments of these old covenant curses that God said, I'll bring upon you all the plagues of Egypt. I think it to be incredibly important, though, again, to emphasize the deliverance of this. Because when God was about to pass through the land of Egypt, what I want you to note is, he said, against all the gods of Egypt, I'm going to execute wrath. I am the Lord. So that the plagues that he poured out on Egypt were not just random ideas. They were things that were the gods of Egypt. Rather, they were the cattle, they worshiped the cattle. Or the Nile River, they worshiped the Nile River. Whether it was their firstborn, they worshiped the firstborn as a god, that they were the divine beings because they were the sons of these pharaohs. The flies that speak of Beelzebub and these images that they worship. God was judging every god of Egypt so that when the children of Israel left, they should have been fully been made aware that none of these gods have the power to deliver, not even the Egyptian Pharaoh. That when God rolled up his sleeve and made bare his holy arm, he said, I'm going to show you there is no other gods that can stand before me, and I'm going to deliver you with a mighty hand, and I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to get you to cross the Red Sea. Again, we use that imagery of the Pharaoh's chariots being thrown into the Red Sea as the imagery of the horse and his rider to the blood, to the horse's bridle, but it was indicating a new Exodus. But what I'm after is this. We have mistakenly preached that when God was doing the last plague, which was smiting the firstborn of Egypt, that he was literally, the judgment was falling in Egypt. But he told the children of Israel, take the blood of a spotless lamb, put it on the doorpost of your house, and take this lamb inside of your house, because when I see the blood, I will pass over you and eat the Passover and celebrate it in your house. And we mistakenly preach that the blood said to the death angel, this house escapes. That's not completely true. That house did escape. But what the blood said to the death angel is not that this house escapes,
The blood said to the death angel, there has already been a death exacted here. The death of the lamb was the death of the firstborn. So that you didn't escape. You got everything you deserved in Christ. In other words, Jesus took all of the wrath of the old covenant system on him when the Jewish leaders and rulers of the synagogue and the Romans together unleashed all the powers of evil were darkened that day as Jesus took into himself every curse, because the scripture says he came made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law from the curse of the law. Him being made a curse for us, because cursed is he who hangs on the tree. So that I stand today on top of the sea of glass and I sing the song of the Lamb, because I know his death was my death, and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, and I'm standing on this side, hallelujah, and really should be living in the promised land, which according to Hebrews chapter 4 is rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ and a confidence in his blood that God's wrath has been fully satisfied, and that it is not in my future, it is in my past. And no other God will ever stand before him, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the temple of God then is opened, and the glory that he is in that temple is seen and showed. So he would declare, who will not fear thee, O God, and glorify your name, because your judgments are made manifest, because he has judged all the gods of the Egyptians, and now he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, vesture dipped in blood, and they that follow him on white horses are victorious conquerors through the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Well, we've concluded chapter 15. I trust you've enjoyed this segment. We're running out of time, but we do want to encourage you to sow a seed into the ministry. And we do need your help. We don't spend much time raising funds, but we definitely need your help as we come into this new year. Come and partner with us and be a part of what God is doing in the earth. The best way to do that is to go to my website at lynhiles.com, and there's a link where you can give through our PayPal portal with your credit card, debit card, or however you want to give that way, and you can set up a monthly debit to become a monthly partner. You can also give via check or money order, or you can call the number that's on the screen and someone will take your call. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and someone will return it. But do it today, because we need your help. God bless you. Wouldn't it be incredibly good news if the last days are past days and not in your future? What if you don't have to face a future 7 years of hell on earth called the Great Tribulation and worry about a future mark of the beast? What if you discovered that these events happened in the past and were written about to a first century church and are not in our future? If this interests you, then this study guide will be well worth your time as it explores these and other subjects in great detail.